Men of God.
Yes. Men of God singing unto the Lord. And we ought to feel better after Reverend Jones prayed for us. And then the men said, after a while, it'll all be over. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue preaching through a series called Outrageous Conversions. Outrageous Conversions. We've been talking about outrageous conversion that the Bible talked about. Those that have been with us, we've talked about the last week, Zacchaeus and his outrageous conversion. Then the week before that, we talked about the Philippian jailer. Who would have thought that Philippian jailer would be saved on that day? And then the week before that, we talked about Matthew.
Yes.
Or Levi, the tax collector.
Yes.
Where Jesus said there was a publican named Levi. Uh-huh. And we talked about a publican was considered an evil person. And a Levi was supposed to be the most godly person in that town. And here you had a Levi doing the publican's work. God changed all that.
Yes.
And today we're going to talk on the subject that Jesus meets a lunatic.
Uh-huh.
That lunatic is us.
Yeah. All right.
Amen.
If any of us, you all missed that lunatic represents us.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus met a lunatic. Anybody know the outcome? Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. This is just one I couldn't pass up. And one of the reasons why is we live in a time where we do a lot of giving up. I call it the microwave generation. The microwave go bad, just throw it out and go get a new one. We throw stuff away. We throw family members away. I believe this lunatic was thrown away. Like his family threw him away. Let's read Mark 5. And let's go all the way to 20. And while we're reading, there's 3 points in this sermon. And the first one is verses 1 through 5 or 6, and it's the confrontation. Your salvation experience, and I'm not going to keep you standing long. I know I have a lot of verses, but I just like to pick it up as we read it. There comes a time that anyone that's saved, there's a confrontation.
Yes. Yes.
You meet Jesus and there's a confrontation. And Jesus wins if you're saved.
Amen.
And the second point is verses 6 through 13, we see the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. And then the third point I'm going to talk about is the conversion or the commission. But there's a conversion that takes place in verses 14 through 20. So just keep those in mind as I read through these scriptures. Pick them up and then we'll expand on them as we preach. And we do preach out of the King James Bible. And we go verse by verse and we are Bible driven.
Amen.
So pick up a pew Bible and I'm not hard to follow.
Amen.
And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was near unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there and were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fled the swine and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. And also concerning the swine, and they began to pray to him. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him.
Yeah.
Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you're so worthy, you're so faithful, you're so wonderful. We just ask that you would just be a blessing today. Touch our hearts and our minds and our ears, that we would leave here today much better, so much better than we were when we came in. Father God, we ask that you would just be a blessing on this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus meets a lunatic. It's hard for us to imagine that we were once lunatics, out of our right mind, doing things we ought not have been doing, going places we ought not be going, entering in relationships that, right now we wish we hadn't.
Yes.
We was out of our minds. We was crazy. Our parents used to probably call us crazy. You crazy. You need the Lord. Oh, thank God for some praying parents and grandparents.
Yes.
Amen.
Prayed us through. I always say nobody here wanted to be saved. We wanted to die in our sins. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
We was on a road to destruction. We wanted to die in our sins. We wanted to go to hell. Some of us, I talked to some young people, say, well, all my friends going to be in hell. We live in a day and age, folks ain't even worried about going to hell. I get my hell speech out early. I was in the hospital. Vernon introduced me. That's my pastor. He preached heaven and hell every Sunday. And I say, amen. The time is drawing near. Somebody got to preach it. Somebody got to preach it. Because hell has not left the Bible. Now, I know we got some new translations, and they take hell out. They take Jesus out. They take Lord out. But the King James Version that I read, hell is still in there. Saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. Let's look at these three points. First, we see the confrontation. How many of us in here say, remember when God confronted you? Got in your face, got in your life, got in your mind, got in your heart. Jesus had just got off the boat. He had purposely took a trip from one side to the east side of the sea to meet this man. I always say Jesus would have came here if it was just one lost soul.
Right.
Here is one lost soul. Jesus had crossed the sea to meet this man.
Uh-huh.
And Satan knew he was coming. Somebody look, we can go right back real quick here in verse number 37. Jesus on his way to save a soul. Do you know there is conflict? Every time a man of God or a woman of God is saved, there is conflict.
Yeah.
Verse 37 of Mark chapter 4. That's what it says. And there arose a great storm of wind. Remember, you go back to the book of Job. Satan's number one way of stopping folks and punishing Job was with what? The wind. He used the wind. And here's Satan again. And it says, and there arose a great storm of the sea, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was full of what? Full of water.
Yeah.
It was going down. And that's Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow.
Yeah.
That's our Lord.
Yeah.
In total control. And they awake him. These are master fishermen.
Uh-huh.
Veteran, seasoned fishermen. And they awake him. Never a storm like this. And say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose. Yes, he did.
Yes.
He arose and rebuked the wind.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
All right.
And said unto the sea, Peace, be still.
Yes.
And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Yes.
Oh, that's a picture of us. That's also a picture of us when we was mad and crazy and as lunatics, and there came a great peace.
Yes.
If you're saved, you ought to have a great peace about
yes.
yourself.
Yes.
Oh, it's sad when I talk to saved folks. In turmoil.
Yeah.
Life's turned all upside down and shaking all up. We ought to have a peace.
Yeah.
The Bible said we ought to have a peace that what? Pass it all.
Yeah.
Understanding. Folks, I'm not even understanding why you have this peace. You're going through, sister. Brother, you're going through and you don't even show it. Listen. This joy I have.
Yeah.
The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. And like Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'm gonna leave. You ain't taking nothing with you. Okay, they had the millionaire had his when they read his will, he said, how much did he leave? They say he left it all. He left it all. Listen, verse number 37. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Why do you say that? You in the boat with me.
Yeah.
I'm the God of the storms. I'm the God of the wind. I'm the God of the sun. I'm the God of this water. This water can't even move without me letting it move. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. You ever had some doubts? Remember, these folks walked with Jesus in the hand of time. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Ain't that something? And if you ever think you've got it going on, we can't even get our kids to obey us. Jesus can hit the wind to obey him. Listen, and all this was going on, and imagine what was going on shore. So on shore, the winds and the trees probably had to be swaying, and here comes a ship. We talking about that perfect storm. Here comes a ship.
Yes.
Smooth. And Satan looking, watching. Because he knows Jesus. He saw him afar off, it says. And when they came over to the other side, they ought not have even made it.
Right.
That boat ought to have rolled up on shore in just pieces of wood. But it came up, I believe it came up in just full, just in perfect condition. And it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. These was non-Jewish folks. Here's Jesus going into a country. Son of Man came to do what? Seek and save the lost. He's on a mission. A seeking mission. And when he was come, verse 2, we're going to look at this confrontation. A confrontation has to happen. He said, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately. That's one of Mark's favorite words. You read through Mark. Mark on the move, on the go. He said, immediately. See, Satan ain't going to let you even get your gloves on. He coming out. He coming out swinging. And immediately there met him. That word met, that means there was confrontation. There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now somebody said, what's an unclean spirit? What's a spirit that ain't clean? It's what you have. If you hear and you're not saved, you have an unclean spirit.
Right.
There's only two spirits. There's a clean spirit and an unclean spirit. You have one of the two. Well, how do I know if I have it? Look around you. Look at your life. Look who you're running with. Look who you're hanging with. Are you hanging in the tombs? See, when we was unsaved, we hung in the tombs. They call them bars. They call them strip joints. They call them casinos. I mean, we see, the God calls them tombs. See, folks that aren't alive to Christ, they're dead. And dead folks hang out in tombs. They hang out in tombs. Listen, he had his dwelling, the Bible says in verse 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs. This man stayed in the tomb. He stayed in the tomb. Love dead stuff. So we have a fascination with dead stuff now. You have more people wanting to go to school and be coroners, and they want to mess with bodies and dead stuff. Vernon showed me a picture of his hand this morning on his camera. I don't want to see that. This is what it looked like without the bandage on it. But we like CSI and Law and Order. We like murder mysteries. We like killing and murder and all this stuff that we watch. Because, you know, that's our spirit. And if your spirit is attracted to that, be careful. Our kids is watching so many murders. I mean, we are immune to murders. I mean, young boy 17 get killed on the south side, and it's a small little article in the Vindicator.
Right.
Don't even mean nothing anymore. That's just what they do. That's what they do. That's how the politicians look at what. That's what they do. They just killing each other. Why? Because they have an unclean spirit. An unclean, murderous spirit. This is what he says. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. Come on, couldn't nobody tell this brother nothing?
Right.
This is that individual. You can't tell nothing. Listen, I'm going to do what I want to do. When I want to do it, how I want to do it. I will call you if I need you. You take your Jesus and go on. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the church. That's old. We heard that before. Who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains. This man had a supernatural strength. Somebody has worked in mental hospitals. And I've worked with mentally ill in the prison system. And I've seen it. I've seen what some of these individuals can do when they're under the influence of demonic possession. I've seen them throw folks around. I've seen them throw officers around, and five or six officers get on one of these guys and just throw them all around. No man could bind him, not with chains, or not with a man-made gospel.
Come on. Come on.
Look at verse 4. We're still talking about this confrontation. This is who met Jesus out of the boat. Now, they just calmed the sea, so I imagine these disciples were like, whoa, Jesus, now what are you going to do with this guy? Imagine that. This guy's running toward him. But he ran toward the right one. He didn't run toward the apostles. He ran toward who?
Jesus.
Look at verse 4. And because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and those fetters and chains, those are blocks of wood that they would drill holes through and stick your hand through, handcuff you, then they would shackle your feet with chains. This man would just flick them off. He would just flick them off. Listen, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man. Emphasis on that.
Yes.
Any man. See, this kind of person needs Jesus.
Yes.
So we can give him pills. And we can take him to a psychiatrist. How many of y'all know that stuff didn't even come out until about 50 years ago?
Right.
All them pills and ADHD and all that.
Yeah.
I've said it before, and my father's here, but we didn't go to see psychiatrists and stuff. He had a spot in the basement where we lined up. Time to see the doctor. Doctor extension cord.
Yeah.
See, and it says, and no man could tame him. Listen how he was. It says in verse 5, always, we're talking about this guy, always, night and day. This was just constant. He was just constantly in this state, and he was in the mountains and in the tombs. Listen what he was doing. Crying. And I mean, I don't need tears coming out. This is just a howling. This is just a picture of a person who wanted to release from this. Sometimes our children be howling. They just want to be delivered. He's looking to be delivered. This man was just, no one wants to stay in sin in their right mind. You will always get a time where it comes, well, I need to stop this. And again, I know I talk about the prison, but I watch these young boys come in, 18 years old. I watched a couple come in my office last week, 18 years old. Giving them 20, I'm doing 25 to life. 18 ain't even begin to live.
Right?
Amen.
No, no, no.
25 of life, and I've been doing this 20 years, and they said, hey, you know him? That's Tilly over there. Remember he came in here? He was 17 when he came in. And it's been 19 years. And now he looked like a man. Listen. He said, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Let me say something. I get a question all the time. What about tattoos?
Go ahead.
Now, when I was young and didn't know the Lord, I put a tattoo on me. And I'm embarrassed about it. I'm ashamed of it. My kids look at it and see me. We look, hey, what's that? I was going to pull my sleeve down. Because I didn't know no better. And I thank God that God saved me. Because if he didn't save me, I probably would have covered myself up with him. I'd probably have been the second coming of Allen Iverson or LeBron James.
Come on.
Let me tell you what the Word of God says about tattoos. Somebody going to write this down. Because we buying our kids tattoos for their birthdays. 12 and 13 year old kids. Daddy, I want a tattoo. Are you going to want that when you 30?
Right.
Are you going to want that? Are you going to want Keyshawn's name on you when you meet someone else? Because if you meet a man like me, I'm going to say, who is Keyshawn? Because I'm going to have to look at him if I marry you. Look at Leviticus. What's that, Exodus? Leviticus? And I know this is the rage, and I know this ain't popular, but I'm not trying to be popular. I'm just trying to be biblical.
Amen.
You do better when you know better.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm not condemning anyone that has a tattoo. I have one on my arm. That's the end of it, because I know the word of God now. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Now, how does that apply, preacher? Well, I see these young boys and they gangbangers and 8 or 9 of their homies get killed. You know what they do? They put RIP and they'll write down I've seen brothers with 15 names on them. I said, you must have had that strong of a gang. Because all your boys is dead. That's one gang I don't want to be in. Listen, that's what it says. This is what the word of God says. And somebody says, that's the Old Testament. Now, Jesus, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law.
Uh-huh.
He said, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print. Oh, the word of God is so clear. Nor print any marks upon you.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because I am the Lord.
Yes.
See, God don't want to see you all them prints and marks on you when you stand before the Lord. Now, if you have them on there already, God bless you. But when you stand before the Lord, a printing a name on you is idolatry.
Yes.
Okay? It's a picture of idolatry. And this man was cutting himself. He was cutting himself. Now, I'm not saying he was putting tattoos on. I believe he's just cutting himself.
Yes.
A lot of folks that's bipolar, they cut themselves. You see, they trying to release some of that pain, some of that anger, so they cut themselves. This man was cutting himself with stones. Remember the Baal worshippers?
Yes.
Remember Ahab? And he was going to call out his God.
Yeah.
And they made a deal with Elijah. And Elijah was just sitting over there. Because he knew their God wasn't going to do anything.
Uh-huh.
And they got desperate and they started cutting themselves and just putting blood all over them, hoping that their God would wake up. Oh, but we serve a God that don't sleep.
Amen.
And Elijah, you know what Elijah did? Elijah was kind of arrogant, but he told him to fill the trenches up with water. He told him, get buckets of water. And God's going to strike a match on this and light it all up. Listen, I hope that helped somebody. Maybe it didn't.
It's the truth, man.
It's the truth anyhow, whether it helped you or not.
Amen.
Let's look at the second thing. Let's look at the compassion of Jesus. 3 points. The compassion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How is anyone saved? By grace.
Yes.
By grace are you saved through faith. Anybody in here that's saved, you're saved by grace.
Amen.
Listen to what he says. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Wait a minute. He ran and worshiped him. What he said, he ran and fell on his face, prostrate, and started worshiping God.
Yes.
But something strange is happening in verse number 7. Now the man that ran to him fell prostrate on his face, and he's worshiping him. And in verse 7, see, demons sleep. They need rest. And so in verse 7, when he opened his mouth, it says, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Now the demons are speaking. See, the demons are speaking. They are speaking. Look, somebody turn to Luke 8:29. Real quick. Luke 8:29. One book over. And the question I want to ask, who's speaking for you? Especially our young people, who's speaking for you?
Yes.
8:29. Listen to what it says. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had what? Called him.
Yes.
He called him just now. And he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was, here's the key word, driven of the devil into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
I know some folks don't believe in demons and devils, but I believe the Bible talks about a real devil.
Yeah.
I believe in a real devil. And look at what this devil is doing. He was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And the wilderness means back into the tombs, back into that lost world. And the question I ask, who's driving you? Who has the steering wheel of your life? Who has the steering wheel of your life? Only two people can. See, when you get saved, you don't do what you want to do no more. I was saying this week, there's only two wheels. And both wheels don't allow you to do what you want to do. You'll be under the will of God, and you're going to do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
And you're going to be under the will of the devil, and you're going to do what the devil tells you to do. You are never in a state where you're doing what you want to do. You can think you're doing what you want to do, but you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. Reverend Jones talked about the lesson this morning. These folks had forsaken the Lord.
Yes.
And started to do what? Serve idols. You're going to either serve God or you're going to serve idols. There's no in between.
No way.
You know, straddling the fence. I hear people say, No, you're not straddling the fence.
Amen.
You're serving the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm straddling the fence. Right now. No. Right now you're serving the devil. If you're not serving the Lord. There's no in between.
Yeah.
Well, I'm back. No, you're not backslidden. I know that's difficult. Listen, verse number 7 one more time. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee? And this ain't like, it's just like us. We say we understand the Lord. We know the Lord. We was raised, our mama served the Lord. We know the Lord. Our grandmother, we know the Lord. We know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know he died on the cross. We know he rose from the dead. We know he's sitting up on high, but we don't want to have nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
Man, that's something. We know all that to be true. We sit in church all our life. We know it to be true. And listen to what they say. What have I to do with thee? I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing what I want to do. I know you, God. I know you. I believe in hell and heaven, but right now I don't want to bother with that.
All right. Amen. Amen.
What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Savior, Joshua, Son of the Most High God, stepped out of glory, died for our sins, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. I believe all that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have nothing to do with you right now because I'm doing my thing. This is my time. I'm coming out. I want the world to see. What have I to do with thee? I'm stuck there. Jesus. Now, listen, how much sense does that make? What have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. I adjourn thee by God. That's an oath. That word adjourn means that's an oath.
Yeah.
I adjourn thee by God that thou torment me not. Now that's bold stuff there. That's demon faith. See, some folks have demon faith. But what's demon faith? Listen, James 2:19. Y'all know this verse. Y'all have to turn there. Thou believest that there is one God, yes. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and are saved. No.
No.
No. That ain't what it said. They tremble. It's a shaky faith. Oh, that's the kind of faith some of us have. We just shake it in the face of God. When God comes into our life, we know it's God. Because we know we've been raised in the church. We know God. We know His presence. We know when He pushing us. We know when He telling us what to do, but we don't want to hear. Ain't no way. No way. That's over with. Nah, I can't do that. See, we pick and choose what commandments we going to follow. We want to be blessed. Oh, we want to walk around. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
All
right. Oh, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. But where's the obedience at? Where's the self-control? Where's the discipline? Where's the faithfulness? We got to talk in faith. We got good talk. Good conversation. Play the part. We still talking about the compassion of Christ. Verse number 8, for He said unto him, listen, God didn't even have to tell him this. He said, come out of the man. God loves the man. He said, he's trying to save a soul here. He said, come out of the man. God in here asking right now, come out of the man. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And He asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So listen, folks. Mary has seven. Mary Magdalene, they say she has seven. Seven is a number in the Bible that means infinity. That means she just had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She had probably seven legions of demons in her. A legion is upward 6,000. So if you have one legion in you, you got 6,000 demons in you right now. And listen, we talked about this morning, you don't have the power to deal with them. Oh no, you don't have the power to deal with them. That's what Paul says in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what?
Power
of God unto salvation. For the Jew first and this Greek. We don't have the power to deal with these demons. And we wonder why we battle. We wonder why we fight. We wonder why we fight and battle. Because you're going to fight and battle as long as you're in this flesh. And when you leave this place, the battle will be over. If you know the Lord. If you know the Lord. And if the Lord knows you. For in that day, many are going to come to me saying, what? Lord, Lord, remember me. And He's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Frightening words. Frightening words for folks that sit in church and know the Lord. And all the devils besought him. I'm moving down to verse number 12. I'm going to get to this conversion. We're going to close here. Verse 12 says, and all the devils besought him. They begged him. They was praying. See, they was praying. Saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Them swines wasn't bothering nobody. The Bible says here they was over there feeding. They wasn't bothering nobody. See, Satan don't care. He don't care. He will use anybody available. He'll use anybody available. Pig, dog, baby, cousin, nephew, niece. He don't care. You make yourself available and Satan will use you to cause conflict in your family, in your church, in your school, in your community, in your wherever. Satan is looking for opportunity. He's looking for a body. Verse 13. We're moving into to God's conversion of this man. Let's just move in there. I don't want to get caught up on the swine, but this ain't about the swine. This is about Jesus Christ. This is about Jesus Christ. Let's look at this conversion in verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled after they went down the mountain and told it to the city and to the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Uh-oh. Something happening here.
Yeah.
Listen, whenever Jesus shows up, there's conflict, there's problems, there's problems. Jesus said, I show up, folks are going to be saved or there's going to be a riot.
Yeah.
There's going to be problems when Jesus show up. When Jesus show up in your life, there's going to be problems.
Amen.
Don't listen to these guys, on these TV guys telling you, live your best life now. Well, you're not going to live your best life now. You ought not even want to. Because when Jesus show up, there's a conflict.
Amen.
There's a conflict. There's a problem. And he showed up on the scene, and there was a problem for this whole community. When Jesus show up in a family, there's a problem for this family. Listen to what happened here. Verse 15. And they come to see Jesus, to see him that, listen, was.
Yeah.
Brother Dave, that's one of them little words.
Hallelujah.
Where that word being in the past.
Yeah.
He was. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have.
Absolutely.
He was.
Yeah.
Possessed. See, when you come to Jesus, something going to happen. You're not going to have an encounter with a living God and leave the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Listen. And they come to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Folks will be afraid of you when you get saved.
Yeah.
When God starts making that change in life, folks be scared of you. What happened to you? Oh, there's been a change in me. I'm no longer running the streets. I'm no longer howling. I'm no longer chasing women. Oh, I done got back together with my family. Oh, everything is just wonderful. And folks will be looking at you. You must be out of your mind.
Yeah.
That's not natural. That's not natural. And then not only was he sitting, which means he was calm and peaceful. He was at peace on the inside and on the outside. The Bible says he was clothed. He was clothed. Let me tell y'all something. When you see the young folks running around here naked, and these young boys running around with their pants hanging down, all they saying is, I got a demon. Okay? Hosea 4:6, our people are perishing. And I'm talking about black folks.
Yeah.
Our people are perishing. Why? For a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
So when you see the young boys in their pants, all they say is, help me.
Yeah.
They say, help me.
Yeah.
They give you a free image. Why are you walking around with your pants down? Because I need help. I'm lost. There's no other way to look at it. And when you see the women running around nude, Satan wants to strip you down. He wants you running around naked.
Yeah.
That's why they put Beyonce all over the screen. And now you go to Walmart at 10 o'clock. There's a YouTube video. Walmart at 10 o'clock. Go to Walmart at 10 o'clock. Not in the morning. At night.
Uh-huh.
Freaks come out. When? Somebody gonna try that. Take your cell phone with the camera. Let's go around Walmart at 10 o'clock at night. Woo. Okay. Moving right along. Listen, he was sinning. He was clothed. And that word clothed means I took it there. But it really means it's clothed in the righteousness of God. I believe Jesus Christ may have taken off his own robe and covered this man. He was clothed in the righteousness of God. And if you want to get to heaven, you're going to have to be clothed. We talk about the great parable of the marriage feast. And one man came in there and the servant came up on him and said, where's your garment at? He had came into heaven on his own terms. You can't go to heaven on your own terms. You have to go to heaven on God's terms in his righteousness.
Yes.
He was clothed in righteousness. Listen to what else it says. The third point he was clothed in. He was clothed. He was calmed. He was clothed and he was calm. Listen, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
In his right mind.
Yeah.
In his right mind. No pills, no doctors, no psychiatrists, none of that. None of that. He had Jesus.
Yeah.
He had met the great physician.
Yeah. Glory to God.
And he was in his right mind, and they were afraid. See, Satan will always be afraid of the man of God.
Yeah.
That's where we get reverent from. And you see, you call the creatures reverent. That word reverent means fear. There was a time when reverends were feared because the man of God showed up on the scene. Folks were like, oh, the man of God is on the scene.
Right.
Well, Satan didn't done a trick to that. The man show up on the man of God show up now, you know. Whatever. Ain't that something? He was sitting. He was clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. We're talking about this conversion. And listen, verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning his wife. They told the whole story. See, they was eyewitnesses, and they told, but they told it in a wrong way. Because, see, when you get saved, people don't miss this. It's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you something. And some of us in here young and understand this, and we think we saved because we're going to church every Sunday. Oh, I go to church. I'm saved. You're not saved. You're not saved unless you had a conflict. You understand the compassion of God, and there has been a conversion. See, we want to make everybody saved. But if you're saved, you're going to be able to relate to these 3 points. I had a conflict in my life, and Jesus exposed who I really was, and I know that I'm a sinner, and God confronted me, and then he's compassionate, saved me, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created unto good works. So if you're saved, you're going to have that confrontation. You're going to experience the compassion and the grace of God. What is grace? God not giving us what we deserve. But lastly, you're going to have a conversion. You're going to have a testimony. And you're going to want everybody to have what you have. That's why our churches is empty, because everybody say they saved. But we're not telling anybody about how good God has been to me. What he's delivered me from. If you're saved, you ought to have a testimony.
Yes.
Oh, some of you got testabaloney. Just a whole lot of baloney. You went to church today, and you're here tonight.
Yes.
I just want to help somebody. I also want you to just leave here believing that you're saved. Because unclear saved. Oh, I went to church 6 months ago. Because I hear these preachers put everybody in heaven. Everybody going to heaven. Like the video, all dogs go to heaven. Everybody ain't going to heaven.
Amen.
Everybody not going to heaven. I hate to burst anybody's bubble. But you have to ask yourself that question. If I was to die today. If I was to die today. Would I go to heaven?
Yes.
Or ask yourself this question. If someone was to go to my friends. And say, I'm trying to convict this individual of being a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Jesus.
Now let her go. Let her go. Ain't no way you're going to convict her of being a Christian or him. Free. Is there some evidence in your life that you had a confrontation with God? That you've experienced the compassion of God. And listen to this conversion. Listen to verse 19. I'm going to be close. 19 and 20. Howbeit Jesus. Verse 18. Excuse me. And when he was coming to the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil. Prayed. Oh, he's praying now. He ain't crying no more. Now this man that had been possessed is praying. He's praying. He prayed him that he might be with him. Oh, when you get saved, you want to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, when you get saved, you want to be with Jesus. You want to be with his people. You don't have to be begging to come to Sunday school and Bible study and prayer meetings. I got to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to be around God's people.